with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. The King and Queen have welcomed the President and First Lady of South Korea to London for the first state visit since the coronation. The Prince and Princess of Wales were also present. There was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. I'm unfamiliar with London to understand moving to the Household Cavalry Regiment, moving to Buckingham Palace, and other events. There was a luncheon there. What I do understand is that there's to be a diplomatic accord signed between the British government and the South Korean government. And Gregory of Defense and Foreign Affairs is here to help me understand. We have AUKUS, which is the United Kingdom, the U.S., and Australia combined in a visionary alliance into the 21st century. We have Japan lending warships, well, ceding warships to the Philippines. We have Japan supporting Taiwan and saying we'll come to its defense if it's attacked. And now we have the United Kingdom signing a diplomatic accord with South Korea. All this moving around suggests they're knitting together something larger, but I can't tell, Gregory. These are all countries with simpatico in that they practice free trade, capitalism, and they're also concerned, gravely concerned about the predator state of the People's Republic of China. Is this all coming together, or is it hit or miss?
It's not hit or miss. The reality is that for the past few years, we've seen Britain resurging and re-energizing its position in the Pacific and the Indo-Pacific regions. The AUKUS alliance, of course, is very significant about that. But Britain has also, in recent years, signed major defense agreements with Japan and, of course, with South Korea. There's a strong linkage there. The South Korean economy is buoyant, and so what this meeting is about to symbolize is a greater degree of investment by Korean businessmen in the United Kingdom. And we're seeing, as you say, a greater flow of UK commitment to East Asia. The state visit by the President and First Lady of South Korea to the UK was highly significant in that it's the first state visit into the UK since the coronation, it's a fairly significant one, and it's shows I think the level to which King Charles in particular has turned the crown in the United Kingdom into a far more dynamic and policy leading organization than we saw under Queen Elizabeth II. The King's own state visits to Germany, France, and Kenya in the past year have been profound in that they have moved the diplomatic dial in favor of Britain to a far greater degree than anybody expected. So in a sense, the Crown is giving the United Kingdom the prestige and authority to these big deals. And that's despite the fact that the government of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is at this present time quite weak. So we see the Crown literally giving Britain a lot of substance and strength. And what the King is doing with the state visit and with other events, he's using all of the ceremony at his disposal to impress and flatter and honour visitors to the United Kingdom. The fact that there were very symbolic things. Yes, we had the normal trotting out of the sovereign's escort from the Household Cavalry Regiment with the lifeguards and the Blues and Royals. Very impressive. But you also had on parade there elements of the Scots Guards, which are some of the household division of the armed forces, which actually reports to the Crown, not to the government. But the F Company of the Scots Guards was recently deployed to South Korea, where it was assisting in training issues with the South Korean military. So there were all the elements of symbolism that could be brought to bear were brought to bear. And there was a great deal of attention and flattery to the visiting South Koreans with the use of the state coaches and the like to escort the visitors to their initial meeting at Horse Guards Parade, which is in Westminster, where they were then presented with the government. So the president, Yoon Suk-yeol, was met with the prime minister and the entire British cabinet there. Now, President Yoon is head of government as well as head of state of South Korea. So he was met by the head of state of Britain, the king, and then introduced to the government. So it gives it a lot more depth, if you like, and continuity to Britain's image when foreigners are brought into this display. And it's something which few other countries can do, and none can do to the extent that the British do. But King Charles has basically turned the monarchy on its head in the last year, since the death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, and he has been making sure that the crown is a valuable and potent symbol and an instrument of state policy.
Puzzled, Gregor, we just have a little bit over a minute. The People's Republic of China lied to Great Britain in the transfer of Hong Kong into the sovereignty of the People's Republic of China. They misled them, they lied them, they deceived them. There are a lot of words here. And Hong Kong has been crushed. And now, is that a factor in Britain? And is Beijing paying attention to this comedy between Britain and Australia, Britain and South Korea, Britain and the United States? Does that bother them in Beijing, given how they've deceived Britain? We have about a minute.
Yes, absolutely. It's concerning Beijing. Beijing knows that Britain is a power which fights above its weight, so it may only be able to deploy, a number of nuclear submarines and two carrier strike groups into the Indo-Pacific, which is why it's been trying to get Britain and the United States to commit all of their forces to the to the Euro-Atlantic sphere, to Ukraine, to the Israel-Gaza war, to defending the Falklands, and they're failing in this. Basically, the Britons will never forget either the Falklands issue or the betrayal of the Hong Kong people by the communist Chinese.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, the King Charles Report, a reception of the President and First Lady of South Korea, combining pageantry with politics. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.